Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
Mind the gap.
Roger, roger.
You're listening to the Star Wars Sessions with Matt Hudson and Luke Bly.
This is where the fun begins.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the galaxy, and welcome to Star Wars Sessions. You come for the Star Wars, you're going to stay for the Sessions. My name is Matt Hudson, aka Jabba the Hutt, and joining me in the cockpit of the Essex Falcon is the greatest Star Wars man, fan, and buddy out there. A man who, if he was a protocol droid, he would be magnificent in human Blyborg relations. Boom!
Oh, Matt! Jabba the Hutt, mate, Hutt Solo, what are you like, mate? Are we getting a little desperate on the Bly puns now, are we?
I've had that one for 2 weeks because I've been able to come up with nothing else.
Oh, my days, mate. I think it's, look, let's call it a spade, right? Let's call a spade, yeah? We're desperate now, guys. Listeners, if you have any Bly pun Star Wars related puns for us, send them in to us, will you? Send them in, because old Matt here is running out of them, and quite frankly I don't envy him, because I can't think of any. I can't sit here and pretend to be shocked like, yeah, Matt, do this one, mate, and then I'll be like, oh wow. poor old Matt.
The only rules are it has to be Bly, and it can't be something like the Emp Blyer. It has to be a straight up pun.
Yeah, straight up puntastic. Anyway, how on earth are you, Matt? I hear there are lots of fireworks going on in Coruscant or Endor or something like that tonight, but we're not here to chat about that, are we? We're talking about the real deal.
We are. Good weekend, mate. Yeah, busy weekend of friends and family. And yeah, if you do hear the sound of bombs dropping, it isn't Luke's opinions and hot takes. It's fireworks over here in the UK. So it's old Guy Fawkes and all that. But yeah, very good over here, mate. How about yourself?
Yeah, mate, I've been dandy. And to be frank, I know last week we put out our Comic Con episode, and we're going to chat about that a little bit more later. But I tell you what, I'm really pleased to be back live talking to you, mate. And I'm ready to shoot the galactic breeze.
Let's do it. What's been happening in the galaxy, Master Blywalker?
Right, people, we got some spicy news for your ears. The Star Wars galaxy has been busy, or Emperor Kennedy has been busy, more like it. Or that's what it seems. Benioff and Weiss, creators. Benioff and Weiss, the screenwriters, am I right in saying that?
Showrunners, the brains behind the series.
Yeah, Game of Thrones, right? Those guys. They were obviously given a Star Wars trilogy by Lucasfilm. And this has been reported on, confirmed for the last few months. I think it was earlier on in the year it was announced. However, people, they are officially gone from the Star Wars universe. Lucasfilm and Benioff and Weiss have gone their separate ways. Bearing in mind the pair, they're on to do a $250 million US deal with Netflix, right? And they're saying they don't have enough time for Star Wars, and they don't have enough time for Netflix. And do you know what? First opinion, Matt. I'm going to give you my first opinion.
Go on. What we'd like to hear.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
If you're doing so much on Netflix and you're doing so much on Star Wars, fair enough. Okay. However, my friend, this is deeper than that. This is much deeper than that. There is no way it's to do with a schedule. That's what I'm going to pass the baton over to you, mate. What's your opinion?
What a king.
What's your opinion?
Well, the first thing I thought of when I heard this was, for however many months and episodes we've been doing this, I've been banging the drum for Kathleen Kennedy. I'm never going to turn against her, but I have been saying that her decisions have been not without, negatives. This is another one. So the first thing I thought was, oh no, not another set of directors or writers or big names who are being axed from projects. As you say, it is deeper than that, but my initial thought was, oh no. Obviously, from reading the stories and that, I've got thoughts about it. But when I first saw it, I wasn't overly bothered, as in sad by it, sad for want of a better word, because I thought maybe it opens doors for certain other people. However, hearing about what they're apparently going to be doing, would have been doing, that then makes me think, what if? But no, first up, I did think, oh no, this is just another like, you know, arrow to shoot at Kathleen Kennedy, but I still hold firm that she's doing a good job.
What's funny, man, is like, in our last Patreon exclusive podcast, right? Yourself and me and Isaac, our videographer, big shout out to Isaac Pevy, who came to Comic Con, did our videography, did a fantastic job. We had a little chit chat, didn't we? A podcast chit chat. And we actually chatted about directorship, Ryan Johnson's trilogy, a little bit on Benioff and Weiss, right? And Kathleen Kennedy.
Yep.
And it's just funny that, like, pretty much a few days later, this news comes out, the woodwork, right, and changes it all. My initial reactions, and actually kind of after our chat, where like Isaac elaborated a little bit more on what Benioff and Weiss do, I'll be honest, mate, I'm kind of glad they're away and out of the franchise.
Same here. I was going to say that now. Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Not maliciously, I'm kind of glad.
Now, it sounds like, you know, I mean, they went out and did a panel recently, right, somewhere on some sort of Texas, conventional Comic-Con. And they pretty much said they don't like fantasy.
Which is ridiculous for a fantasy series or set of novels.
You don't like fantasy? Are you having a laugh? Are you having a laugh? You don't like fantasy and you're doing a Star Wars trilogy.
That's all you
Are
can
you
say
kidding
is just
me?
And Game of Thrones, obviously, which is a
it.
Massive series of fantasy novels that George R. Martin still hasn't finished. But I mean, they're pretty much dabbling in fantasy, sci-fi fantasy, and like Game of Thrones style weird fantasy. So that's kind of where they've hung their hats at the minute. They're coming out and saying, do you know what, we try our best to actually take as much of the fantasy out of it, regardless of what the fans might think. And I'm not sure old KK would have enjoyed hearing that.
Nah, it's just a bit stupid, isn't it? Like, let's be honest, it's just stupid. You don't, if you're in charge of an upcoming Star Wars trilogy and you go on a stage for the whole world to see and hear, and you say, I don't like fantasy, it's just stupid. You're shooting yourself in the foot. On top of that, right, I mean, I'm not a Thrones fan, but we all know, thanks to the internet, that pretty much the last season of Game of Thrones was received terribly. And people weren't fans of it. And I don't know, man. I think it's good riddance. However, this for me spurns on the question of does Lucasfilm have a problem with directors? Does Lucasfilm have a problem with keeping people on board projects or even bringing people in to projects, right? I'm also going to amend a thought that I've stood by for the last few months now.
Go
right?
On. Go on.
I know what's coming. You cheeky Sanso. I think Ryan Johnson probably is going to be getting his trilogy now.
Hopefully.
Because, well, we'll see. Let's see after episode 9. Once all episode 9's calmed down and whatnot. I don't think Lucasfilm, well, saying that, you know, I was just saying that they've got rid of these guys pretty much publicly. I don't know. I feel like Ryan's probably going to get his trilogy now. And Benioff and Weiss, you know, they can go do their own thing for Netflix. The problem is, dude, is that you have directorship problems of Rogue One, right? Fortunately, Gareth Edwards played by the rules and whatnot, but obviously they sent in remind me of his name,
Tony Gilroy
to kind of help out and quote unquote fix Rogue One. Now we don't know the extent of that at all, right? So let's take that with a grain of salt. J.J. Abrams had issues of episode 9, although, you know, they weren't as big as what episode 7. My apologies. But again, I don't think we know the full picture of that, and I don't think it's quite as bad as what people make out. Ryan Johnson had a clean slate, as far as we know, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, there was pretty much no problems. I was like, start to finish, done. And obviously, Solo, A Star Wars Story, the craziness that happened there with the Lego Movie guys.
Lord and Miller.
Lord and Miller, thank you. Wow, I am not on form tonight.
We're recording on a different day, guys, so we're all a bit here and there.
We're all a bit crazy. We're all away with the fairies. It's these dark nights, man. The clocks have all changed. Not to sort of all for 10, mate. But you get the idea, right? Yeah. So Ron Howard had to come in, pretty much save Solo, A Star Wars Story. And actually, you know, from what I hear, episode 9 has gone swimmingly, which is cool.
With just minor
reshoots, which is normal for any film.
Exactly.
So listen, I think that I would rather these guys get rid of now, put it that way, than a few like years down the line or halfway during the trilogy or something like that. I'd rather they get rid of them now and get people in. I think the issue is, Matt, people aren't up for making Star Wars films. I think people are scared of making Star Wars films. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
That makes sense. And who's going to want to come on board anytime soon? What kind of like budding director is going to want to come on board, like an up-and-comer, because are they going to think, well, I'm not going to be able to put my own stamp on it? What established director is going to think, I really can't be bothered with the hassle that may come? Because apparently, the word is from the rumour mill that Benioff and Weiss weren't happy, and they've come out and said that creators in the galaxy, Star Wars galaxy, they're shackled in their attempt for creative freedom. They are told that, yep, you can put your stamp on it, but when it comes to, you know, writing the story and presenting ideas, they are very quickly nixed and 86'd and thrown out very quickly. So apparently that's been happening quite a lot, which may marry up with some of the reason why people are, you know, being thrown out, i.e. Lord and Miller. But for Benioff and Weiss, I mean, for their credit, I mean, clearly they're talented at what they do, because, I mean, their awards haul, the amount of accolades they've got for Game of Thrones, and I mean like physical awards, is breathtaking. But they don't seem to have the right attitude or the mindset. The Q&A, and forgive me, I can't remember who it was who live-tweeted the whole thing, which is what caused this whole uproar. But, you know, they were kind of pretty much like, we've just winged this whole thing, so, and look where we are now. It's mad, isn't it? And as well, Netflix is paying the big bucks. We know Netflix is a streaming beast, and obviously it's going to be going head-to-head with Disney Plus soon, shall we just say. But you're going to go with Netflix rather than your own original Star Wars trilogy. That's what got me as well. I get that Netflix, you may have more freedom for ideas and creativity, but you could create a legacy if they created a boss Star Wars trilogy, because apparently it was all going to be about the origins of the Jedi, going right back to the start of the Jedi and how they came to be, and whether that was the conflict with Sith, I don't know, but it was going to go like proper beginning of everything. So that's when I found that out, I thought I would have loved to have seen that. However, Benioff and Weiss aren't the only people who can tell a good story. They're certainly not the only people who can tell the story of the origins of the Jedi. And if this does open a door for Rian Johnson's trilogy, then I will be pleased. On the other hand, I agree with what you said this week and over the past few weeks. They're absolutely, definitely not 100% never going to announce Rian Johnson's trilogy as cancelled before The Rise of Skywalker. However, as much as I am banging the drum for, you know, Disney, Lucasfilm, Bob Iger, Kathy Kennedy, if it came out sometime in like the first quarter of next year that actually they're not going ahead with Rian Johnson's trilogy either, I think I'd have to take a complete 180 and be like, what on earth, what the hell is going on over there now? Because everything seems to be falling apart. So I hope Rian Johnson gets his trilogy creatively, because I think he could do a magnificent job without the canon shackles that he had upon him because of the saga storyline. But also, I really hope he gets it, because if he doesn't, then something's seriously wrong at Lucasfilm for everybody to be dropping like flies. So that's what I think. But in terms of the actual news, you know, guys lost their job. It's a shame. They're going to go on to earn $250 million doing something else. It just means that somebody else can step in. Another talented writer or set of writers or directors are going to get their chance. So as much as it sucks that, you know, the idea could have been good, does that mean nobody can ever take this story or none of it? No. So it is what it is, but by the sounds of it, I'm with you. It's kind of like, thanks for your efforts, but, you know, we're going to look somewhere else now, mate. Not entirely disappointed.
Watch this space, dude. Watch this space. Like, when episode 9 knocks it out of the park, right, I think the atmosphere at the company, the atmosphere at Lucasfilm, people wanting to work and collaborate with Lucasfilm would be totally different.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. But a lot of it, I just want to point out, a lot of it is speculation. A lot of it isn't fact.
Yeah,
and the truth is, Disney, Lucasfilm, those guys have kept a tight lock on this information on what's actually gone down, right? So with some of these things, we're none the wiser, man. No. We're none the wiser.
There we go.
That is news.
Talking about keeping a tight lock on things, next up, this is unsurprising yet still nice to hear confirmation. For 4 years, the space between one Football World Cup and another, 4 years, Ewan McGregor had to lie about being in talks to play Obi-Wan Kenobi. Apparently, he's confirmed, he was in talks to star as Obi-Wan in a movie 4 years ago. So that's a long old time to lie or conceal the truth. Just imagine having to, you know, not tell anybody this for such a long amount of time. Ewan McGregor said it was really awkward. Who can blame him? Just think how many times was he asked every appearance he had on a TV chat show or even at a press junket, you know, people would ask, are you going back to Star Wars? And he said he wasn't keen on having to lie, but the studios wanted privacy and secrecy and he respected that. But he was also quite interesting. He said he was quite aware that people like me or you or other people in the fandom were also saying, we can't have anyone else play Kenobi. We don't want anyone else. So he was aware that the fans wanted him, but he couldn't say anything. So I thought that was really interesting. So yeah, confirmation that a movie was originally slated. We knew we were going to get a movie. Now we're getting obviously the series. We've got Deborah Chow directing. Hossein Amini is going to write it. And he also went on to say, Ewan, kind of not a synopsis of what the show's about, but a little bit, and it's quite telling, verbatim. The Jedi Order was falling apart. It will be interesting to take a character we know in a way and show him, well, his arc will be quite interesting. I think dealing with that, the fact that all the Jedi were slaughtered at the end of episode 3, it's quite something to get over. So we're definitely getting that deep dive into Obi-Wan's mindset, knowing that all of his brethren were slaughtered. But 4 years having to lie, mate. How would you get on? How long would it take before you cracked under that kind of pressure?
Dude, like, I have no idea how some people do these sort of things. Like, you just know, like, I would let that information go, like, just accidentally
on the show.
Yeah, it'd be that's it. it'd be crazy. But I think to be honest, one of the things I took away from this was that, you know, if Ewan McGregor is doing fibs and kind of like avoiding talking about this, who else? Whoa. What other people? What other directors also do?
True.
You know, just something to bear in mind. For me, this is just like, you know, one of those Bantasaurus stories, isn't it, really? But you can take a lot away from it, like regarding other topics too. It tells you quite a lot about how Lucasfilm and people like that work, really, at the moment. Yeah. So, yeah, just something to bear in mind.
It's true. As far as I'm aware, Ewan McGregor wouldn't have been under contract, per se, of Disney, so he's not getting paid to keep his mouth quiet, I don't believe. So, obviously, he said it himself, he respects the studio's wish. So, yeah, it's not like he had money being thrown at him to keep quiet. So, yeah, well done, Ewan McGregor, but it was one of the worst-kept secrets in show business. However, it's quite nice to know that every time I go back to watch an old interview with him, he's lying out of his Scottish teeth.
Yeah, what a wonderful Scottish accent that is, eh?
What a man, what a beard.
What an absolute lad come boom. Hunk.
Yep.
Boom, 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 boom. And talking about lads. Talking about beefcakes, talking about lads. Talking about hunks.
Go on.
We got an absolute lad coming into our galaxies next week. Coming to our living rooms.
Next week.
The Mandalorian drops on Disney Plus next week, people.
Mate.
Around the world, well, mostly the United States, Canada, New Zealand, Holland, and a select few other countries. Yeah. But let's be honest, around the world.
Yeah.
Around the world, people are going to be watching The Mandalorian, the first ever live action Star Wars TV show. One of the most anticipated and amazing TV shows to really be in production. This is, rumor has it that this is the most expensive TV show ever made. And people, we got a new trailer for it last night. And Matt, have you seen it?
Yeah, man. Of course, there was a trailer that came out a couple of days ago, and then they dropped a teaser. And this is kind of on the back of people. I heard a few people saying, or read, "Ooh, Disney aren't really marketing The Mandalorian. Do they have worries about it? Is it bad?" And then suddenly they dropped these two bad boys. And any Disney have been marketing The Mandalorian. They've been marketing Disney Plus as a whole. This thing looks the bomb. But yes, I saw this trailer, and I've been waiting to see what this guy, Luke Bly, had to say about it.
Dude, I think it looks fantastic. Yeah. Everything about it is incredible. The ending line, yeah? Good.
Yeah, good.
Insert that audio then, bro. Insert that audio then.
Yeah? Good.
There it is. What a geez.
Dude, like... That he's just a bad boy, isn't he? Everything about this show just screams like a Western.
Yeah.
You know, it just I'm just so excited for it. Me and a few buddies, we did a Star Wars role playing game on Saturday. And actually Isaac, he was the game master for it. And Blizer, yeah, Bly Barton, Dab. I was a Mandalorian in that. So, you know, the Mandalorian fever is definitely, it's definitely here. It's hit home and I am absolutely buzzing. And even the other night, there was another teaser that came out and we see our blog boy, don't we? Our blurg boy.
Doc, mate, we see.
What's his name? Kalu or something?
Kuil.
Yeah, what a lad. But, dude, I'm absolutely buzzing for this, dude.
Honestly, it's mental to think that by the time this show drops, it will be under a week to go. And then, as far as I know, actually, next week from the time of recording, there's two shows dropping. There's one coming out on the Tuesday, one on the Friday. So we're getting double Mando. We're getting double Hunk next week. Everything about
and
these was
Fallen
so...
Order.
Oh, at the end of the week.
In 1 week.
And tonight, Resistance Reborn dropped as well, which I cannot wait to read because it's the new novel, which leads directly into the Rise of Skywalker, which is apparently like tear-jerkingly good in terms of how it ties so much together. I can't wait. But for the trailers, mate, it's got Werner Herzog. I can't wait till we get a character's name, so I don't have to keep calling him Werner Herzog. His narration, it's a world more peaceful since the revolution. That is, and don't forget, we get the Separatist ship, we get the B2 battle droids.
We're
going to get live action battle droids.
How good was it seeing that prequel stuff?
I cannot wait.
I think that's going to be in the first episode. I wouldn't be surprised if that is the Mandalorian as a kid.
I think it will be.
And it's the Clone Wars.
I think it will be.
The show will start out with the Clone Wars.
How good is it to see the Clone Wars live action?
Filoni.
Every time he's asked, I watched a cast interview with him last week with all the major cast, and he was asked, you know, is anyone or have you got any surprises for the Star Wars fans? And as Filoni does, he puts his head down and he just smiles to himself because
there's going to be a lot.
Under that hat of his, there's so much he's hiding. I wouldn't be surprised if Sabine Wren pops up in the end of the season or season two or something like that. But there's so much cool stuff. Like he takes a few shots. And his Beskar armor just bounces it all off. You see him on a jetpack attacking that Moff Gideon ship. You see the moment where him and Cara Dune, Gina Carano's character, I think they just became best friends. Yeah, we get Nick Nolte, we get the Mando on a blurg, stormtroopers on speeders, and Ming-Na Wen's character is introduced as well. She's an assassin named Fennec Shan, and she just says, "Your name will be legendary." I think this show is going to be legendary. 1 week to go. Pop question. Are they going to release any more footage between this second and next Tuesday?
Yes.
Oh, yes. You heard it here first, guys.
Mate, Disney Plus is going to be marketing this, and we're going to get a few new clips. It'll be tiny, like the teaser that came out the other day with
Kuil.
It'll be something like that. That's what I'm thinking. But, dude, I'm absolutely buzzing. I don't even think we realize how good this show is going to be. I don't even think like the world realizes how good this show is going to be.
I cannot honestly wait. Dude, the world building,
I'm buzzing.
What's that rhino beast as well that was in it, and that Kuil geezer says, I've never met a Mando, Mandalorian. I've only heard the story. So, I mean, is he like one of the last Mandalorians or something? There's so much like world building and mythology they're going to be creating. And just not just that, I mean, visually, it looks the bomb. It looks smoking. We get to see the Razor Crest Settlers. Good. Just everything about it. Look, Carl Weathers looks like a king as usual. I'm just getting excited, mate. We've got a week to go. I cannot wait to just eat up both episodes next week and then play some Fallen Order. But for The Mandalorian, I'm on countdown now. We sound very excited because who isn't? I would like to speak to somebody who isn't excited by this.
There's one word for it, mate.
Yeah?
Spicy.
A word that reverberated around the XL in a few weeks, but we will speak about that later on. I cannot wait. But before we move on, elsewhere in the galaxy, a couple of little tidbits. A 1979 Kenner action figure of Boba Fett, speaking of Mandos, or non-Mandos, is expected to fetch £390,000 or $504,000 at auction. Plo Koon and Kit Fisto are getting some Black Series figures, and Hayden Christensen's Galaxy's Edge appearance has sparked more online rumours by the fact that he left his house. Apparently he's now going to be in The Rise of Skywalker, but he was at Galaxy's Edge with his young daughter, doing what everybody else does, taking pictures by the Falcon, making lightsabers. But, you know, people are now saying, you know, he's coming home.
He's coming back.
Hayden's coming home. But, he fancies splashing out $390,000 on a Boba Fett figure.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
I'm good, mate. Okay. I'm good. Whoever has that sort of money and spending it on a Boba Fett. Like, dude, I love Star Wars. We are Star Wars fans. But who on earth has that kind of money to splash out on that?
Bill Gates.
Stop. Yeah. I was just saying, like, it's all these Silicon Valley dudes that grew up with the original trilogy in it, and they're just like, yeah, no, fair enough. Take it all back.
That's $500,000 on an action figure. Yeah, Plo Koon, Kit Fisto, they're getting Black Series figures. We saw some at Comic-Con as we put up on our Instagram stories, and as we mentioned last week, we got some wicked figures coming out in the Black Series. But good to see the prequels getting some love in. But I'm going to ask you again, 5-6 weeks to go, Hayden Christensen, over under 75%. Is he in The Rise of Skywalker in any capacity?
Over.
Boom! Hayden's in it. Bly Walker said it.
Hey, what's up? It's Taylor Gray, aka Ezra Bridger, and you're listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast. I hope you enjoy the show.
And tonight, we are going to party like it's 1976, and there's a good reason for that. We received an email out of the blue a few weeks ago from a lad called James Cooper, nice guy, who's based in London, and he gave us a pretty wonderful, sweet, tempting offer. So we met James in September in a sweet pub in London called the Smuggler's Tavern, and we mentioned this on a podcast a few months ago where we were on our way to London, and this is why. Basically, in this pub, over a nice cold pint on a crisp summer's evening, we were given a original fourth draft 1976 script of Star Wars. We got some unseen black and white images during the shooting, and a call sheet from Friday, March the 26th, 1976, which is all about the cast and crew filming in Tazir, Tunisia, which was Tatooine. And the materials originally came from James's grandpa, Arnold Ross. You may have heard the name. He was the location manager for Star Wars, as well as Never Say Never Again, Trial by Combat, and a few others. And James found the items by chance at the back of his grand's cupboard in the 90s, which he himself called a pleasant surprise. And to that, I could say, it's an extremely pleasant surprise, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. We heard many, many things that night. We exchanged stories and we had an amazing time. And before we go on, I just want to give like a really sincere shout out and thank you to James Cooper for doing this for us, for meeting with us. And we're going to discuss a bit more bits that is all possible because of James. But it just so happens that James is an amazing artist.
Yes.
He is fantastic. He does contemporary work. It's eye-catching. It's eccentric art. So please check him out. Visit his website, www.artbycooper.co. Just .co at the end. So if you're interested, please give him some love. Because he's given us some amazing treasures to talk about. In fact, he also told us that his gran had stories about the Star Wars team buying a lot of props and paperwork and burying them. Well, no, not buying, burying them in the Tunisian desert. Imagine that. So going to the Tunisian desert and digging up a flipping jar or so or something. Now, it's just like mental, absolutely mental. But also how she refused a role in Star Wars because it was too hot. Yes. Yes. So, you know, but to bear in mind, like, people didn't even know. They had no idea how big this was going to be, did they? They clearly had no clue.
Funny space story about Jawas and robots in the sand. And it's amazing to think that somewhere out there in the Tunisian desert, where actually we actually have the exact directions on this call sheet, but somewhere out there are props and paperwork from this movie, which, like I say, at the time was just a film which George Lucas lobbied to get made. It's an independent film, basically, and look at what it became. But I can't blame James's gran, because looking at the temperatures in Tunisia back in the day, from hearing the other cast and crew stories, it was a little bit hot. Hotter than we usually get in England, shall we say. So I don't blame you. But what we're going to do is, we got the script. We've got that fourth draft of 1976, January the 1st, this was produced. So we're going to kind of chat about some of the main changes and maybe some of the interesting little things we got out of it. So what could have been, almost, you know what I mean? We know A New Hope, or Star Wars, it's called. We love it. We know it. How could it have been different? So we've got a couple of things which are a bit different. Also, we'll dive into the call sheet and some of the pictures as well. But also at the end, we'll just kind of maybe just kind of recap what it was like to see it for the first time. But about the script then, like I said, fourth draft, 1976, it's a little bit different. Luke, take us away in terms of, you know, one or two or three or however many things you want to go about, which could have changed the film as we know it.
Yeah, the first thing that I'm going to mention is, this is the first time I've seen official Lucasfilm documentation. Well, I don't think I've ever seen official Lucasfilm documentation, like from the actual business. And I was able to hold it. I was able to touch it, look through it, which was just one of the most surreal things I've ever done in my life, to be honest. But also just seeing an official documentation typed out Luke Starkiller. Mate. That's what I'm going to start off with, right? And that's something that a lot of people know. The diehards know. But there's a lot of Star Wars fans out there that don't know that Luke Skywalker's name was actually Starkiller. Yeah. And in a lot of the drafts, that's what he's called, Luke Starkiller. And that is just the start. That is just the tip of the iceberg on, like, name changes and general changes that happened in Star Wars, A New Hope, which, of course, was just called at the time Star Wars. However, it went by a slightly different name, didn't it? He had a different idea for the name. Okay, and that was, again, the hardcores, the diehards, they all know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. So Star Wars, obviously in 1977, when it came out, was just called Star Wars. And now we know it as Star Wars A New Hope, Episode 4. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to go on with this. The title George Lucas originally had. Ready?
Go for it.
The Adventures of Luke Starkiller, as taken from the Journal of the Wills by George Lucas, Saga 1. Star Wars.
Saga 1 is interesting as well.
Mm.
How many sagas did George have in his head?
It is. There we go. I don't know, is that just a different name for episode, do you think?
Actually, that's a good point. Maybe. But because obviously we're so used to seeing the word saga films.
Of course.
Or trilogy.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that, I thought, Saga 1, is this like George's way of saying he's got more stories to tell? Because originally we thought this was just a one and done. But yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, catchy name. And the Journal of the Wills. We like to say the diehards know that the Journal of the Wills has been out there since, you know, the day one. But seeing it in typeface was pretty cool, pretty special.
It is all very special, man. And also, okay, I'm going to mention something else. Do you mind if I go ahead and mention one more thing? So one of the first things that we saw, and for me, I've not been able to get this out of my head as much as the other stuff, ironically, is James actually had, ironic, Insert that bad boy there. Ironic.
Ironic.
So we actually got like the travel document, like documents and the schedules for shooting that day. So you can see there's a sheet saying artist, right?
Yeah.
Mark Hamill, Anthony Daniels, Kenny Baker, Jack Purvis, Peter Diamond, right? And it's just these tiny little names. Peter Diamond was a Tuscan Raider. He was leaving his hotel at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Right? Get this guy, but the Jawa or the head Jawa, he got to leave the hotel at 2:30 p.m., right? So he got a cheeky little lay-in.
He got
a better deal. Yeah, which is crazy. So, yeah, it's just mental, like props, right? It says on here, Luke's rifle and breakaway. Electro binoculars,
of course.
Get a Gaddafi axe, boxes, mattresses, Jawa guns and weapons, speeder canopy, backpack, carrying gear, production chairs, restraining bolt, and large Jawa zapper. It's just really weird. It's just really, really weird. Just seeing this, just seeing the humanity behind it is so unusual.
And seeing large Jawa zapper. And expecting that to mean anything is quite common. But yeah, it's a cool sheet, like we say, from the 26th of March, Friday, 1976. The ground is rough. Please wear sensible shoes. The transport of when the guys, Mark Hamill, Anthony Daniels, Kenny Baker, all travelled together in a car. I'd have liked to have been in that car on that day. But it's just, like I say, and all the extras, like Mark Hamill's stand-in is just called Mahmood. It's got a guy called Mahmood. You know, they needed a crowd. They needed seven local children to play Jawas. A.N. Other, his name was Anthony Daniels' double. They were just going to choose that on the day, by the looks of it. It's just, it's great to see like a bit of history. And like, even the paper itself, just holding it, it is literally, well, it sounds stupid, but it's from 1976. It feels it, it looks it. It's, to you know who's been holding it? Obviously Arnold himself, Arnold Ross, the location manager. You know, this is all his stuff and this is what he would have held on set, on location of all these people. It's amazing. And it's just, even stuff like that. Heads of department, if you need extra labour, let us know the night before. If you want transportation, it's really difficult. Let us know a bit further ahead. There's a little note saying, please do not take any personal cameras on set or on sound stages. So the privacy has always been there from day one. Maybe not quite as bad as it is now. But there's also detailed directions of how to get to the Rock Canyon in Tozer, the canyon, which is where they obviously filmed the Jawa and the Tuscan Raiders scene. So if we ever went to Tunisia, we have got detailed directions of how to get right to that part there. But yeah, it's just little things, isn't it? Like you say, like Mark Hamill character, Luke, leave hotel. Just that, the you know, the magic behind the magic, if you will. It's little things, but yeah, just reading it was just mad.
Yeah, it's... Like you said, it's just an insight into the magic. And I think it's absolutely fascinating. What about you, dude? What's something that stuck out for you, mate?
Well, obviously the big one, the main one, which anyone's going to read this script is going to see, oh, look, Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's not dead. He survived his duel and he actually survived the movie itself. He's in the Musashi Temple on Yavin 4, giving directions to the fleet above the Death Star, and actually Luke Skywalker himself is instructing him. So as of this, Obi-Wan Kenobi survives and is a fairly pivotal figure throughout. So that's him. And at one point, after he escapes Darth Vader and Death Star, he quote-unquote charges into a group of Stormtrooper and slices them down. So, you know, sort of like 60-something-year-old Alec Guinness could have been, you know, breezing through Stormtroopers, slicing them down left, right and centre, which would have looked
taking them
wild.
Down.
Cutting through them like hot knife through butter. So that would have looked quite weird. But yeah, the first thing is Obi-Wan Kenobi didn't die and he survived this film.
That is mental. That is absolutely mental. And that's when he decided, oh, yeah, there's going to be Force ghosts.
Yeah.
He changed his mind, man. He was like, he probably killed him off thinking, this Alec Guinness guy is like an absolute pain to work with. But like,
he's too expensive.
Turn him into a Force ghost. Yeah, dude, I don't know. I don't know. But it's just fascinating. Like the whole stuff, like, I can't stop reading about it, like the Millennium Falcon simply being known as the pirate starship,
yeah.
Right? This is obviously stuff that I've kind of heard about or read about on forums or articles or videos, whatever. But to read it from the actual script, I don't know, mate. It's just there's something surreal about it, isn't there? Because
yeah.
I feel like I've shared this experience with you, so you get it. I can say this stuff, and you immediately get it, isn't it? Though, like, it's just really weird just seeing these words in there where you could kind of clearly see that George and the team and everyone around him were kind of still figuring out the film, although there was a script. And although they were shooting and actually making the film, you could tell they kind of weren't done. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird.
We were in that pub and we were just fist bumping the whole time, weren't we? Just reading it, every time something new came up, it was a fist bump and a pint. It was odd to try and put across, but you did literally feel like you'd been given something out of a time capsule, because like the paper, the script, the photographs, the sticker we got. James very kindly gave us an original sticker from the 70s of when the film was called The Star Wars. And just like holding it, just looking at the material it's printed on, it's just of another time. And it was so surreal. And because, like I mentioned, everybody knows this film and how it goes. Seeing another draft of what could have been, or actually George had these ideas and used them in later films, like... At one point, Darth Vader says, "The force of others is with you," which Chewie Inway says in Rogue One. And like Chewbacca is written as having yellow eyes. He's got a flat jacket painted in camouflage and brown cloth shorts. And Garazeb, or Zeb from Rebels, was modelled on the original Chewie design. And obviously here, reading that he's got yellow eyes and these shorts, sounds an awful lot like Zeb to me. So there's other things in it, but little bits like that where you think, maybe either George knew what he was doing ahead of time, or he was winging it and went back to it and remembered. Oh yeah, I remember when I said this in the 1976 script. But there's so many wicked things. Yeah, like the pirate starship, the Millennium Falcon, is a JX-121 fighter. Yeah, it's little things which we take for granted. And every time I've read through these and looked at it, I thought, what could this film have been had it been shot like this? Because there are other set pieces which were added on, and ones which are now in the film which weren't originally. And it's amazing to think that what we got spawned what we're talking about now, gave us everything we know. But how different could it have been if any of this was in it?
Before we move on, can we acknowledge something?
Yeah, we can.
Red Squadron is called Blue Squadron.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah. What's going on with that?
I mean, Wagwan people. What's going down? I thought that was. I was like, out of all the changes, man. Like, we know these films go through so many changes, but
the colours aren't right. Yeah, it's mental.
Yeah, it's. I thought that was absolutely, just awesome. Loved it. And what's another one that I liked? Hang on, the jellyfish scene.
What the hell is that about?
We've not talked about the jellyfish, right? So as well, so before the trash compactor scene, so before that, right? The three, Leia, Luke, Han, they run into some smaller corridors and become like knee deep in water and ooze, right? And they got to walk sideways as they enter this like Death Star dungeon, right? And then people, a huge jellyfish emerges from the water and towers over the gang. A jellyfish.
Of course. Imagine that in the 70s.
But it hasn't... I mean... Imagine that in the 70s. That's the thing, isn't it, Matt? You can't really. And you can you totally get why you were like... They were probably like, yeah... Nah.
It's not bother.
Nah. No bueno.
I'm so glad they did.
And it was actually called the Dianogu.
Yeah.
The Dia. Dianogu. But yeah, basically the gang managed to escape it and then get stuck in the trash compactor. So, yep.
Sounds awful, isn't it?
I don't know how on earth that would look, and it would feel like, to have that and then the trash compactor scene, I don't know, just feels like, it just feels like crazy. But yeah, that's a point. That's another
just absolutely mental point from that script that I never knew about that. So, yeah. Awesome.
I'm glad it wasn't in there. I've got to tell you, because the way they used a Dianoga in The New Hope, which was basically just like the eye coming out of the water, perfect. You don't need to worry about the effects, but having a massive jellyfish just like looming over everybody, I can't even picture it looking good now with the effects we've got, because remember how bad Borgullet looked? Imagine like a Borgullet 10 times the size.
I don't mind Borgullet, you know. I think Borgullet gets like unfairly, slapped around a little bit.
There's something about the lighting in the scene where he's kind of, moonwalking towards
like
Bodhi.
Moonwalking.
Yeah. There's something about that where you just think there's something not quite right there, but
he kind of just like propels himself like a worm. I hope that
just like that.
Like the sound effect kind of says more than words, you know. So
and that is the adjective as well. That's how he walks.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that is exactly.
What else we've got? We've got Tarkin, Grand Moff Tarkin had feels on becoming the Emperor. He was trying to actually, get on the Emperor's council so he could actually usurp the Emperor, and that's Grand Moff Tarkin. There was an Imperial dude named Montross who, after meeting Ben Kenobi and Luke in the cantina, when they get into the docking bay, as Han's getting a Falcon ready to leave, a guy called Montross turns up and basically says, there's something going on Tatooine. The Emperor, the Darth Vader's heard about this old bloke with a lightsaber, basically, literally is what happens. And they're saying, look, nobody's getting off Tatooine, especially not you, because we know about your history. So the kind of Han Solo being a pirate was always there. But then there's this kind of weird sequence where Han Solo gives one of Montross's guards something to hold and says, don't drop this because otherwise, it'll blow us all to smithereens. And it's like this kind of slapstick thing where Han then throws him a wrench, the guy drops the thing, they all run off. And then Han gets to drop on Montross and he's going to shoot him, but instead throws him out of the ship as the main heroes get on board and the stormtroopers arrive. So there's this whole new set piece, which again would have we don't know whether it would have been out of place, because in this story it kind of works, but it's just the writing is it's definitely a first kind of attempt by George Lucas. Yeah.
It is banter. Yeah. One of my talking of like slapstick and like humor. Anyway, there's this one bit where Luke is on his land speeder. He's right, and he's flying through Anchorhead, and an old woman runs out to get out of the way of the speeding vehicle. Right, so the land speeder's going by. Right, and she shakes her fist at Luke's speeder as it flies past, and then she shouts. I told you kids to slow down.
What?
Like,
classic.
What? Why? I don't know. I mean, as we famously or infamously say on Star Wars Sessions, it's always about the execution. Drink.
Execution, drink.
But, like, I don't know, man. It sounds like...
There's no way that works.
You know when we talk about the prequels... And we say that, like, George Lucas didn't have those same people around him, like, telling him, George, you need to reel it in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or George,
tone it down, mate.
That doesn't suit with this. It feels like in the original three, that kind of happened.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff in this where you're like, it doesn't feel cohesive. But I guess, do you know what? Credit where it's due. There's a lot in Star Wars that are face value, or if you'd never seen Star Wars before and some bloke down the pub was just telling you about it, you'd think, what the hell? What is this bloke on?
Yeah.
What is this geezer on? You'd think, what on earth is he talking about?
Yeah.
But, it works. It works. So, it's still all good and good fun, isn't it? Just to see it all is just lovely. Really is lovely.
And so again, there's a moment where that scene which was taken out of the film where Luke Skywalker looks up in the beginning of the film and sees like the battle in the stars on Tatooine. In this draft he shouts tumbling tortugas. We're meant to believe that means anything, but again, maybe Mark Hamill could have sold that line. There's so many wicked things. Obi-Wan Kenobi doesn't just cut Ponda Baba's arm off. in the cantina, he slices him in half from chin to groin, which would have been a lot gorier compared to what we got. But apparently, yeah, Obi-Wan's he's a killer, just going around Tatooine slicing people in half.
He's like, you know when we used to have the canon character game
view of Darth,
and Vader used to just like, it used to be like we'd have a random canon character at the end of each episode, and it turned out Vader killed him,
literally,
right? Pretty much every other like show, most characters were killed by Vader. It sounds like in this universe that was Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going around chopping down fools.
Stormtroopers, Pond the Baba, slices him in half. Doesn't care. Stroke of the beard, Bosh, in half. But there's loads of cool stuff.
Done. Ended. Right, I'm probably, because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of words to go through and digest and go through and just, like, flipping process.
Yep.
But one of them, is, can we just address this? This is going to be one of my final favorites. Okay,
I think I might know what it is.
Oh, really?
Possibly.
Okay, it's incredible. Han says to Luke, this is obviously the end of the film, right? Because we kind of know how it ends, yeah. Right? Han Solo's talking to Luke at the end, and he's like, yeah, let's go home, right? He instead, in this script, he goes, you're all clear, Luke. Now blow this turkey and get out of here. What?
This turkey?
What? What are you on about?
Turkey. You know, in the universe, turkey's turkey.
What gets me? I don't get it, mate. I don't get it. It's so, like, fantastically awful.
Blow this turkey.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So there you go, buddy. That's probably my final fav.
Harrison
final
Ford
fav.
Ain't selling that. I got two more. One of them's good. One of them's pretty much on par with what you just said. The main one is, basically the story ends the same. They blow up the Death Star. They go to the throne room. They get their medal, apart from Chewie. But during the trench run assault, Luke actually shoots at the Death Star at the exhaust port. Actually misses the first time and has to go back round for another charge. So I thought that was pretty cool. That Rosen, yep. Obviously, where we get now, we get a guy who was a farm boy, and then 2 days later is somehow using the Force and blowing up a space station. But in this one, he actually misses the first go, which I think actually may have been more impactful had he missed the first one. But the second part I wanted to mention, it's about Han Solo and Luke again. And this one's more for Luke Bly rather than Luke Skywalker, but Luke Blywalker. Yeah, they're basically after the assault, they're back home back in Musashi before they get their medals. Luke says to Han, I knew you'd be back. And Han replies, there's more to life than spice.
Oh!
I said Luke that as soon as I read it.
I knew, right, you were going to mention that, right? And I left that one for you. Just because, like, in our, look, people, we're not magicians. We don't do this off the top of our head. I know. Even though you probably wouldn't think it because our presentation isn't, like, 10 out of 10 banging. But still, like, Matt in our show notes wrote the spice bit in capitals. He might just well have, like, neon signs just, like, pointing to it saying, spice, spice, spice.
I sent it to Luke as well. As soon as I read it and I circled on my via my phone, spice. I circled it. It's like, you got to read this. More to life than spice.
Love it. Absolutely.
I'd love to have seen that in there, Han.
Spicy.
Oh, mate. Should we have a quick chat about the images we've got as well? So, I mean, about the script, was so much in that script that we could have gone into, and I'm pretty sure that there'll be a show or an extra or even a patron or whatever where maybe me or whatever will go through in a bit more detail, but they are like the main parts. But we also got, 24 black and white images, which were in a binder, which were presented to the crew by the looks of it. And we saw these, and again, it was fist bumps and it was kind of a, you know, puffing your chest out and thinking, wow, kind of moment.
Yeah. And there's some of these that I'm not even sure if I recognise.
I haven't seen some of them.
Do you know what I mean? Some of them I do. Some of them feel just like, you know, classic. I've seen them. And a lot of them are just stills from the actual film. Mm-hmm. However, there are some others where I'm like, I've not seen that before. Yeah. I'm not going to go through them all completely because it's just a bit stupid. trying to describe stuff that, you know, if I've never seen before. Yeah, right. So I think what we're going to do with these, we're going to be uploading them, a couple of them, onto Instagram and Twitter just over the coming weeks, you know, because these photos are absolutely gorgeous. They so are. We've scanned them, we've got copies of them, and like I said, the vast majority of them, they're already on the internet anyway, but there's a couple on here. I'm not so sure, maybe they probably are somewhere, but I've never seen them before. So but just see them in black and white, that film, it's just nothing but pure naughtiness.
And Luke's a photographer, let's not forget, and a damn good one too.
Ah, thank you, dude. Appreciate it. I'm telling you, dude, like, you can tell these were taken like by a brilliant photographer. Mm-hmm. They're great pictures. Really, really great pictures.
Yeah, some of them are magnificent. I mean, for most of them, I haven't seen. Some of them are kind of variations on pictures that are already out there. So you'll have a picture of Luke and Leia, but or the guys in the, or all four of the kings and queen in the cockpit of the Falcon, the Millennium Falcon, or the pirate starship. But it'll be taken from a different angle or a different moment. It'll be taken at. So there are some, like you say, there are some stills from the film, but they still look. There's something about, like you say, actual physical film photography and the black and white and like the depth of clarity you get from that. There's something about it which just elevates these pictures. But what are some of the ones which, like we're going to upload some of these, like we say, probably, and the ones which we mentioned, we're probably much definitely going to upload for you to see. But what are some of the ones which stood out to you, my man?
Luke walking away from the hut, from Skywalker home. Right, the first one I saw.
Yep.
The first one I saw was C-3PO and R2-D2, but they're kind of covered by a little bit of like this sand hill. Mm-hmm. It's just like the positioning of them is incredible. Like in itself, it's a fantastic picture. Obviously, there are some familiar ones there, like the portrait of Alec Guinness.
That's my favorite.
As Obi-Wan.
That is so good, that is.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? And it's so crisp and detailed and brilliant. It's like you're there with him. And also the X-Wing one.
Mm-hmm.
The X-Wing flying through the Death Star flipping trench. It's just I would get that printed and put it on a wall. Like, it's just absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. So yeah, they're my favorites. I know you've mentioned the Alec Guinness one. What about you, mate?
Yeah, that one, love that one. The one of Luke in front of the Lars homestead as well was kind of I think the first one we both looked at each other and were like, yes, now this is quality.
There's one of Harrison Ford
looking like a boss, putting on his flying gloves. Haven't seen that one before.
Yes.
It's just what a hunk Harrison Ford looks in that Han Solo outfit and costume and demeanor. He just looks like a movie star. There's some cool ones from the throne room at the end, from different angles of the guys walking towards camera, and a couple of angled shots, long shots, a couple of those. The one of Alec Guinness, and there's a nice one of Luke and Leia. This is after this is when they are on the ship after Luke's auntie and uncle have been burnt to a crisp. And Leia's kind of consoling him.
That's young Harry and young Mark. That's in the film. That's definitely in the film.
Yes, that's still in the film. Yeah, like I say, most of the major beats are still in it, but there are kind of set piece additions which are just wild, like the jellyfish. But yeah, a couple of the stormtroopers look fantastic. A shot of Luke and Leia as they're about to swing across the Death Star from part A to part B. There are some just brilliant pictures. Like I say, the black and white just enhances them, but we're going to put some of them up. I'd be interested to see if you guys have seen any of them before as well. And if you have, let us know. I'd be interested to see if somebody like Mark Hamill has seen these ones before, like the ones of him in it. Because some of them, I mean, again, we don't hold to claim that we've seen every single image of all time, but some of them are, you know, not candid, but almost kind of shots. And then I can't wait for people to see these, because I hope people get the same kind of reaction that we did when we saw them. But I guess that kind of gives us a chance to kind of sum up as well what we thought. We've mentioned it already, but obviously we went up there not quite knowing what we were going to get in terms of the items, but we knew what it was. But until you see it, you don't know. It could just be, you know, a script stapled together, parts missing, and, you know, not in great condition. These things are in mint condition almost. They're in fantastic condition. A bit, you know, a bit of rough and a bit of tumble here and there, but we got up there, and when we saw it, it was just so surreal to hold like these pieces of history in our hands. And I mean, even just now, knowing that we're in the same vicinity, it's wild. And yeah, I mean, for you yourself, just the experience of seeing them and holding them and having them, what was it like, mate?
It was lovely. I mean, it's just you can't compare it to anything that I've done before, mate. It's lovely holding these things, seeing them in person. There's one thing seeing it on a screen and one thing like just actually being able to physically flick through them and see them.
Yeah, that was it. And it was very special, and it was great to be able to sit there and share it with yourself and just go through these as fans, not sitting there trying to dissect it and thinking, oh, what can we use on the pod? No, that we didn't bother about that. We just sat there and just went through it like fans, and it was really special, almost emotional reading it, because again, it's like the start of what we now know. This was kind of this is George's thinking. And again, to James Cooper, thank you, mate. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to meet you and to read this and to share the stories as well. And obviously, your granddad did a fantastic job on this film, and others, and we're so pleased and honoured to be able to kind of have a little bit of that.
I was going to say as well, I completely agree with that, mate. Thank you, James Cooper. Again, guys, listeners, visit artbycooper.co, his website, check out his art. And also a massive thank you to Arnold Ross.
Yeah.
Who was James's granddad. Because of you guys, we've been able to share this and keep these memories and these little anecdotes alive. So thank you so much.
Yep, 100% agree. Artbycooper.co. Artbycooper.co. Check it out. It's great art. And he's a very nice guy as well. Very great guy. So thank you once again for that, mate. So to carry this on a little bit more, shall we head on over to that drinking hole over there, the Bantina?
Ooh, spicy. Let's do it.
Sweet. Barman, give us, what can we have? A Ponda Baba groin cut, please.
Oh, you naughty boy. This always throws me off, this bit. I'll just have what he's had.
This is where we don't script everything, guys. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, I've got to think of some Star Wars beer puns, some more, other than Hofgoblin.
I liked Hofgoblin, mate. I liked Hofgoblin, but here we are. We're in the Bantina. Look, there's Obi-Wan Kenobi. He didn't die in A New Hope. There's a massive jellyfish having a drink. Basically, we asked you legends, you guys out there, the best listeners in the galaxy, if you could change anything from what is now known as A New Hope, what would it be? So we've heard what George Lucas originally had in mind and what he changed to become Star Wars. We wondered what you guys would change if you had a chance. So Master Blywalker, what did we get?
Right, we got some awesome comments from Mike G, Snicked87, a.k.a. Luke Summerfield, King of Wales, and Charlie Skywalker. They all said removing the Jabba scene would help, with Fedi wishing that the special editions didn't try to shove so much CGI crap onto the screen. Yeah, I'm in agreement, because obviously, you know, the episode A New Hope, episode 4, that everyone pretty much sees and loves, is the special edition, isn't it? It's really rare and hard to get your hands on the original cut of Star Wars by George Lucas. But yeah, there we go.
We had a lot of people actually replying, basically saying not calling it A New Hope would be good. So a lot of people keep kicking it old school as well. Graveyard Geek Podcast said the dialogue was pretty rough, but that's George Lucas for you, they said. Shin Masamura said the pacing could do some adjusting. And Donnie Jeep, boop! Wants to erase the Han shot second ordeal. And Donnie, I am with you on that.
Yeah, I agree with that, dude. Up next, the Sleeping Giant Podcast would simply change the title back to Star Wars. J.E. Camp 86 and our boy Sean Hudson wants a more intense lightsaber duel between Kenobi and Vader. Yes! Mm-hmm. And Paul Buckle is irked that C-3PO has a loose servo or bolt on his elbow that Lucas never noticed. Yeah, that, now you've pointed it out, mate, I'm kind of not gonna ever forgive you, and I'm always gonna notice that. So yeah, thanks, geezer. Nah, I'm only joking. It is what it is. Well, I love those sort of things in films.
I think we need a specialer edition now just to get rid of that. And finally, the Mando with no name said, Just one Latinx character, maybe as part of Han's crew or the Rebels. And Star Wars All In simply said, not a thing, not a single thing. Thank you for that, guys. We had a load of different answers. These are some of the ones we pulled. We had a lot of people obviously saying, just keep it called Star Wars. We had some other spicy ones as well, but they were kind of like the main ones we had where people were in agreement. So thank you so much for all of that, guys. And yeah, keep on sending what you change in the films, and maybe we can get a special edition. So yeah, thank you, guys. Should we move on to the Patreon question and give a shout out to a couple of the newbies?
Yeah, let's shout out our newbies. Of course, people, we have a Patreon, if you didn't know, where we have exclusive shows such as Star Wars Sessions podcasts, where Matt and I go to the pub and chat Star Wars. Although we've done three of them now, and ironically, not one of them put them at a pub.
The last one we had beer, though.
Anyway, yeah, that's true. It was at Comic-Con, but we had beer. So it counts. It counts. And yeah, we get other shows such as The Journal of Luke Blywalker, a show where I chit-chat about stuff. We got Jibber Jabber Jabba the Hutt, where Matt talks about stuff. It's just awesome. It's so from $2 a month, you get access to that content. Guys, it's a no-brainer. A cup of coffee from a coffee shop is going to cost you like double that.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So from that a month, you get to listen to all these shows. We got giveaways and loads of other stuff and interesting, cool stuff going on there. So go to patreon.com/Star Wars Sessions. Take a little cheeky look. But first of all, we have to give a shout out to our new patrons who joined in October, who are Matthew Bell, who joined at the High Ground tier, and Adrian Chorley, who joined at This Is Where the Fun Begins tier. Yes,
kings. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for jumping on the bandwagon here, help supporting the show and wanting to listen to us, because it means, again, every time we get a nice comment, it means the world to us. But the fact that you guys are supporting us in that way is, it's incredible, and we're so glad that you enjoy the content that much. And I hope you enjoy that the shows that Luke's just mentioned. We put them out whenever we want. We put them out regularly, not every 6 months. We put them out regularly, so you guys get an extra few doses of Star Wars Sessions each month. Yeah, guys, thank you so much for supporting the show to that at that level. And I know Luke feels the same.
Yeah, I do, mate. It means the absolute world to us, guys. Thank you. Or the absolute galaxy to us, guys. So
come on, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yep. And as part of being a patron, if you join at the $3 tier, you get a guaranteed question every month. And we have another two for you. We do a couple every week. So here are the next two questions. Master Blywalker, hit it.
Dom Boring asks, do you think that The Rise of Skywalker will add a whole new element to The Last Jedi when it's said and done? Don, I think that is an amazing question. Yeah, in general, I think actually The Rise of Skywalker, from the way it's looking so far, Episode 9 is going to make Episode 8 look incredible. It's going to make it look even more better, right? Because I think Episode 8 just took those risks that the saga needed. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like it. A lot of people don't like the way it was done. And I understand that. I get a lot of that. I don't always agree with most of it. But there are elements that the Last Jedi had that I think were just so interesting. And some of the most interesting things and storytelling we've had since the original trilogy, or dare I say ever in a Star Wars film, from a certain point of view, of course. for me, mate, I really want the Rey and Kylo relationship to be enhanced. Mm-hmm. I want to know why the Force is connecting them together. And I feel like that is going to be explored in Episode 9. And when we look back at Episode 8, we'll be like, oh, of course, that's why. So that's kind of like what I'm thinking, dude. Yeah, but thank you, Don. What are you thinking? Yeah,
absolutely, same here. The Last Jedi is not going to be retconned or ignored by JJ. None of that rubbish. He's going to be pulling from The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, of course, to tie up elements in the new film. Remember, JJ oversaw direction or production of both of those films. So JJ's been around for all of that. He's not going to just poo-poo all over The Last Jedi just because it wasn't his film. No, no. Is it going to be enough to change the minds of the people who really don't like The Last Jedi? Not a chance, but it's going to enhance certain parts. Like you mentioned, Reylo, or Rey and Kylo. That is absolutely going to be the crux of the story. Luke Skywalker, he's coming back in Episode 9. His appearance is only going to enhance what happened in Episode 8. Because remember how he went from Grumpy Luke to Heroic Luke? He's going to carry that on in The Last Jedi, in The Rise of Skywalker. Snoke might be enhanced, depending on the party that Palpatine's going to be throwing. Poe Dameron's arc as well, from the beginning to the end of The Last Jedi, is going to be crucial to the rise of Skywalker. He went from hot-headed flyboy to leading the Resistance pretty much. So how he is in the rise of Skywalker is only going to shine a brilliant light on The Last Jedi. And there'll be little things as well, which we forgot about. We'll look back and think, oh yeah, Rian Johnson set that up in The Last Jedi. Ryan and J.J. Abrams just smashed it for a home run. So I think it will do. I don't think there's not going to be any retconning or anything like that. I think what J.J. does with The Rise of Skywalker is going to add a whole new element to The Last Jedi. I really think it will do. And to The Force Awakens, of course, and to the saga. But I honestly think it is going to. Maybe it will change some people's mind on The Last Jedi. I don't know. But it will elevate it. I do believe that.
Yeah, mate, great comment. Yep. I cannot wait for Episode 9. It feels like we've not really mentioned Episode 9 much this show, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, there's a lot of other things going on in the Star Wars galaxy. Yeah, exactly, man. But dude, I am absolutely buzzing for it, and I can't wait to see what JJ does.
I can't wait to sit in the cinema next to this guy and watch that film, to see his reaction. Just to calm him down. Say, look, calm down, mate. Calm down. It's going to be all right. We also had a question from our new Patreon, from the King, from the legend known as Matthew Bell. He said, what time intervals between the Skywalker films would you like Lucasfilm to explore in future television and film projects? Matthew said he'd be up for A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back because the rebellion's on the up. The Empire's regrouping and angry Vader is slicing up anything that moves. And here on Sessions, we love Angry Vader. For me, it's still going to be anything set between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens, just because there's so much time to fill with new characters, new stories with new characters and legacy characters that wouldn't necessarily ruin anything from the OT. Because some of the comics in the Marvel Star Wars run have added some weird things in canon, like Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker meeting before The Empire Strikes Back in one of the comics, and I think I don't really like that because it impedes too much on established canon. Whereas the 30-year time difference between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens, you can have Luke, Leia, Han, Lando doing whatever they want almost, and it's not going to necessarily change anything unless they purposely go out to change something. So for me, I want new stuff. I want to see between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. If you're going to twist my arm, Empire and Jedi as well. It's only a short time period, similar to 8 and 9. So Han's in Frozen Night. What's happening with all that? So that would be my answer, is Jedi and The Force Awakens. But what about you, my man?
You kind of stole my answer. beat to beat. No, it's Mandalorian territory, isn't it? I know that's cheating a little bit, but it's between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. There's so much you can learn about, and I think now Episode 9 is done and dusted, the story's done for it, the plot's done for it, we're going to start seeing that, right? Yeah. We've already discovered, for example, the Knights of Ren aren't really who we thought they were.
That's mental.
Which is absolutely mental and a good conversation for another time.
Definitely. Oh.
But there's a few things where we're like, oh, okay, so maybe that played out differently to how we thought.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go for between 6 and 7, mate.
Again, I agree with you and I agree with me, but thank you for that, Matthew, as well. Cheers for your first question.
King.
Do keep them coming, and thank you for your support. Speaking of which, Master Blywalker, the King, the legend of Bazzard and Boy, he mentioned a giveaway. We have just ran our first giveaway, the first ever Star Wars Sessions Patreon giveaway. We've also got another one coming up soon. But this was the prize was a Rise of Skywalker pop vinyl and a admittedly smokingly spicy looking Star Wars Sessions mug. I haven't got one. I really would like one. They look the bomb. So that was a prize, and two patrons are going to win those prizes each. The results are in, and we've got two lucky winners. Mate, Luke, who are our lucky winners after that drum roll?
They are
Adrian Chorley and KT Stubbs. Yes, they are.
Congratulations, guys.
Yeah, congratulations, guys. And have fun drinking your tea, coffee, or booze. We're not judging from your new Star Wars Sessions mugs. Yes. And enjoy the pop vinyl. It's cool, because who don't love a pop vinyl? A spicy pop vinyl from episode 9.
We want those pop vinyls. Well, but yeah, send us a picture when you get it. We'd love to see your happy face. But yeah, thank you guys so much for that. Hope you enjoy it. Congratulations. We'll get those out to you ASAP. And we're going to be running off another giveaway soon. This one's directly from the mind of Luke Blywalker. We'll drop that information shortly. So before we move on anywhere else, Comic-Con. We went there a couple of weeks ago. I think I'm still recovering from it. I've still got a hangover. I still kind of wish I was there. We had a wicked time. We basically, Luke, myself... and Blyzuk, Isaac Pevy, the producer slash videographer slash graphics guy, all round top man. We were basically let loose to run amok the Excel Centre in London with microphones attached to the hip, like lightsabers. And we were just having a great time chatting with Star Wars friends, Star Wars fans, and basically anybody who happened to be there who looked like they may like Star Wars. We had a wicked time. So, our show last week kind of encapsulated that, but we kind of just want to mention, bring it up that, you know, what a great time we had. And, I think Luke enjoyed himself. Let's put it like that.
Oh, dude. It was so much fun. MCM Comic Con London, thank you so much for having us. We got amazing interviews and chats with people, as you guys know from the last episode. We enjoyed, not even enjoyed, we were over the moon to cover this event. So thank you. We also had an amazing and productive chat with the Hasbro managers, right, for Star Wars, for the Star Wars brand, right? And instead of putting that into this show or to any show, it's going to get its own show. That's how Matt and I feel on this topic anyway. So guys, we're going to be posting a Star Wars Sessions extra show at some point very, very soon, probably in the coming days, Matt and I chatting to the guys over at Hasbro, asking some... Yeah, that's it. So we have a good chat with them. Some of them are jokey questions and us just having a laugh. But also, we do ask quite a serious question, especially when it comes to Triple Force Friday in UK and Europe.
Yep. And secretly, between you and I think they quite liked having a bit of a laugh. I think so.
Yeah, they did. They loved it.
It was great. And thank you also to Tanya, who sorted it out for us. Shout out, you're fantastic for doing that and approaching us for that. But the Hasbro interview is actually going to be on our YouTube channel, which we are just launching now. All of the main shows are going to go up there for those who prefer to watch YouTube and listen to us. And we're going to be dropping the videos from Comic-Con, so the interviews we got, and also just us dancing as well. We dance a few times. We're going to dance with some of the people who are there. They're going to be on there as well. But interviews with the people, attendees, the Hasbro interview is already up on there as now. So please go ahead and subscribe to Search Star Wars Sessions on YouTube. We have only got a few subscribers on at the minute because we've literally just launched. But if you'd love to subscribe, we'd love to have you on there. And we're going to be dropping videos left, right and centre over the coming weeks, months and years. So check those out, guys. But yeah, anything else on Comic-Con before we wrap up, mate?
Spicy.
It was literally spicy.
And spicy.
Before we move on to the king of spice, Curtis Smith, I just want to quickly a couple of shout-outs from Jabba the Hutt to a couple of guys out there. Firstly, a dude called Eric Butts. You may have heard of him. He's the guy you may have seen crying with joy on his reaction videos to the new trailers. He makes these videos where he reacts to the trailers and he basically just cries his eyes out. It's wonderful to watch. It's a joy to watch. He gets negative comments from people out there. Keep it to yourself. The guy's having a great time. I love watching it. And your passion is incredible. Also, I want to shout out to Anthony Royal Farmboy, Michael Condon, Daniel Thorpe, Neil Lowry and Charlie Skywalker. For their constant social media shout-outs for us, the show, and support. They're always banging the drum for the sessions, retweeting the shows, sharing the shows, getting people to listen. So thank you, guys. It means the world that you like the show that much, that you want to tell other people about it. And I just thought I'd give you guys a shout-out on the show to thank you for that support.
Yeah, absolute legends. Thank you so much.
So now over to a man who's a legend with the pen. Curtis Smith, take us away for a cheeky little poem, babe.
Great decision. The galaxy's fate in your grasp, sir. You withheld the title of master. Now Anakin's heated, the Jedi defeated. I think I hear Palpatine's laughter. Find me on Twitter at Star Wars Poet, on Instagram and Facebook at Star Wars Poetry. Always Star Wars, always poetry, always original work, posting daily.
There he is, the man who can win a game of Connect Four in just 3 moves. Curtis Smith, thank you very much. Angry Anakin there.
Always Curtis, always a legend.
Hey, this is Vanessa Marshall, the voice of Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
Now, from the golden tones of the Smith Lord to the Star Wars Sessions game. Yes, it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's my turn, It's my turn this week to host. It's a bit more. This one isn't. Last week, or the week before, sorry, Luke jumped on me with an RPG, which was frankly hilarious. And we got so many comments from people who spat their drink out at work and really enjoyed that. And I'm afraid to say this one's probably not going to be anywhere near as good as what comes out of Luke Blywalker's mouth. But do bear with me. It's a very simple game. It's simply, would you rather, Luke? Would you rather? You up for that?
Oh, nice. Yeah. Always, right. Always.
Here we go. Cue the music, DJ. Would you rather? Now, we asked this question at Comic-Con to a few geezers, but would you rather? It's your turn. Would you rather have Han Solo's head on Babu Frick's body or Babu Frick's head on Han Solo's body?
Oh, I'm going to go for Han's head, mate.
Han's head, and then build
like an android or something to go below me.
So maybe a Blyborg?
That's it. Blyborg. Wink, wink.
Yep. Next one. Following John Boyega's comments in the last week, would you rather face Anakin Skywalker by himself or Rey, Kylo Ren and Finn at the same time?
Oh, no, dude. Rey, Kylo, Finn. Come on. I'll be out. To be fair, none of them is good for you, is it really?
Not to be honest.
If you're on the bad side of either of them, you know, you're going down. So, yeah, I'm going to go for the 3.
Yeah, Luke's running scared of Anakin Skywalker, the Chosen One. Don't blame me, mate. Would you rather talk like Director Krennic or Dexter Jetster?
Let me answer you with this. Fire!
And that is what actually inspired this question. If you listen to last week's show, at random moments, you'll just hear Luke scream, fire, in the background. And it's incredible. As well as some great Irish accents.
Krennic,
as well.
My boy Krennic. My boy Krennic.
Sorry, Dexter. You lose, boy. Would you rather be exiled on Dagobah or Tatooine?
Exiled. Like, what are we talking? We saying, like, am I away from civilization?
Yeah,
or
you've got to go and live out your life. You're going to do it on Dagobah or Tats?
I'm going to say Tatooine because I reckon I'd be able to find civilization quicker.
Yeah,
it seems like a more populated place than Dagobah. So yeah, I'm going to go for Tats.
Tats, and your hair would get more recognition on Tats as well. Next one, would you rather be thrown down a reactor shaft or sliced in half by a lightsaber?
Reactor shaft, mate, because likelihood is you're going to survive.
Yep, so, spot on answer. Would you rather have a red arm or a metal robotic leg?
Red arm, mate. Because then you might not recognise me, though. So.
That's exactly it. Would you rather fight for the Resistance or the First Order?
No, I'm going to be a goody two-shoes. Resistance!
Yep, fair enough. You get to hang around a Rose Tico. Boom! I played Battlefront earlier on. So would you rather have a night on Endor or a night on Geonosis?
Geonosis, man. Because those Ewoks on Ewok Hunt are evil.
Mate, I got speed.
They are nasty when they want to be. They are naughty little boys.
They eat you.
Naughty boys.
They eat you. Would you rather lay down some rhymes with Ray or provide a meaty backing track with the Cantina Band?
I'll be straight with the Cantina Band, making some sick, dope, sludgy, naughty beats.
Sorry, Ray. Would you rather he doesn't like you or I don't like you either?
I don't like you either.
That's the one question that makes no sense. Would you rather wear Padme's black dress in Attack of the Clones that she wore by the fireplace, or would you rather wear her big red queen robes in The Phantom Menace?
Queen robes.
Okay.
Those look pimp.
No, fair enough. Yeah, and you've got to have the hair as well.
Yeah, obs.
Okay. I'll take the black dress in. A couple more. Would you rather be frozen in carbonite or be Jabba's slave?
Carbs every day.
Yeah, it was good enough for Han
Solo.
Carb
diet, isn't it? Carb diet.
Yeah, carb of blight. Would you rather fight what we hate or save what we love?
Save what we love.
What do I say?
Save what we love.
And yeah. Finally, would you rather boom de gasser, then crash did the boss's hey blibber, or grabbing that Jedi, then par Misa here? Would you like me to repeat the question?
Yeah, go on then.
Would you rather boom de gasser, then crash did the boss's hey blibber, or grabbing that Jedi, then par Misa here?
Grabbing that Jedi Impar Misa here.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Jar Jar Binks. Yeah, that is it. Would you rather?
So that is best.
So as we now know, being thrown down a reactor shaft is a key to survival.
Yeah, yeah. If anything, it ups your rate of survival. I've heard anyway.
Yep, and I would like you to do the next show exclusively as Director Krennic.
Oh, mate. I don't know if I'd be able to.
I think you could.
It'd be lonely, I'd imagine.
Oh, are we blind?
Oh.
Deploy the Bantina! Oh. It would be brilliant. Yes! So
classic.
That was the
classic
game.
Thanks,
for this
Matt.
Week.
That was proper naughty. I liked it, mate. Good fun. Good
fun.
Fun.
Now, I can't wait to see what next week's game is because Luke's coming out of it. So hold your horses. We're going to have a bar. No pressure, but we're going to have a banger next week. I'm sure of it.
Absolutely. Lutely.
Boom. Well, again, I'm sad to say it's been a few weeks since we got on the blower, but we're back again. But now we're going. That is that for this episode of Star Wars Sessions. But the fun doesn't end there. We're going to be back next week. No one's ever really gone. Where can the world find us, Master Blywalker?
They can find us on Twitter at Star Wars Session with no S at the end. They can slide into our galactic DMs on Instagram at Star Wars Sessions with an S on the end. So that's at Star Wars Sessions on Instagram. Or feel free to drop us a cheeky little voice note or message to our email address, which is SWS at whatiwatchedtonight.co.uk. That's SWS at whatiwatchedtonight.co.uk. And as we said earlier, if you want to support the show further, please consider checking out our Patreon at patreon.com/Star Wars Sessions.
Yep, you can listen to us right now, as you are already. Otherwise, we're on Anchor FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere in the galaxy. You can find the podcast, we're there. And if you do enjoy the show, please also consider leaving us a good review on your podcast provider of choice, just because it helps the show out, it helps the show grow, and we do like here. It's reading your comments because we appreciate every single one of them.
Yeah, and please tell all your Star Wars friends about us. Tell your mum, tell your dad, tell your mates, tell your cats, tell the bloke who meets up with you and gives you amazing Star Wars content to read through and go through and scan. Shout out to James Cooper.
Boom, boom.
But also tell your cousin, tell the sand person, and tell the Ewok who lives next door too. The more the merrier, the Kessel spicier.
Bring the jellyfish along for the ride. This is the podcast you're looking for. So until next time, from me, it's Sia, and from Luke,
may the Force be with you. Always.
Yeah,
you naughty boy. Naughty boy.
They are Essex-based podcast heroes.
Bounty hunting is a complicated profession.
Tell that to Kanja Club.